Blog Talk Radio.
Anita?
Yeah,
are you
here.
Ready?
Yeah.
Awesome, awesome. I had a little bit of technical difficulties, not really sure what was going on, but anyway, that always happens, but that definitely does not stop the show. So this is T and Anita back with Take 411, and today we have another great show. And this is an interesting topic because when Anita was talking to me about this topic, I said, I never thought about it that way. So today we're talking about Hollywood. And let me ask those that's listening, when you hear Hollywood, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? Well, for me, it's acting, movies, and so on and so forth. Well, today we're going to talk about Hollywood no longer being the hottest place for movie production. True or not true? And if not true, what are some of the new hubs and why? So I'm going to turn this part of the show over to Anita. Talk to us, honey, about Hollywood.
Well, we all know that we all love Hollywood and involved in the people and the places and all the glamour and stuff. But now, Hollywood isn't what it used to be. They're not putting out the movies that people like. They're not, don't seem to be in touch with everybody in the country. And so they are finding other places to make movies. And so we have a number of places that are making movies that are top ones. Do you want to share what they are?
Before I do share that, I just want people to sink that in for a minute, because as long as I've been growing up, everyone has always wanted to get to Hollywood. If you want to be in the music, if you want to be in the acting, music, and movie career, you want to get to Hollywood. And now that hearing that things have changed, like that's like a shock. That's like really a shock to me. But yeah, I know that there's a lot of different places that are popping up, and you know, I definitely will share what some of those things are. But I'm still just kind of in shock knowing that it's no longer like the number one place. There's places like Albuquerque, which kind of I didn't really know about Albuquerque. Atlanta. Personally know about Atlanta because that's just a whole another scene when it comes to the culture and music and film, and so many celebrities have relocated to Atlanta. Vancouver, New York, that's a place where dreams are made of. People love, love, love New York. Also L.A., Chicago, Toronto, Austin, Montreal, and Memphis. And those are some new top places that are making movies. Anita?
Well, there's also some smaller places, too, like Savannah, Georgia, New Orleans, Santa Fe, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Ashland, Oregon, Knoxville, Kansas City, Providence, and Richmond, Virginia. And I know that they make movies in Denver, too, and Tucson and Indianapolis. And so it's all over the country. It's also getting spread out all over the country. And part of that is because California is a really expensive place to live. It's an expensive place to make movies. And these other places are giving tax incentives to get movie makers to come there.
I can definitely understand that and relate. Thinking about when you're 18 years old or 21 and you have a dream and all you want is success, but the reality is, if you had to do it only in Hollywood, you probably wouldn't be able to afford it unless you have five people living in one little small one-bedroom paying rent of about $5,000 a month. So too expensive, I definitely can see that. Tax incentives, that's also something to really, really think about. And, of course, we know with the way the world is today, a lot has changed, and a lot of places are more expensive, but some places are just astronomical, and people just cannot afford it. And then you have other situations where people are going to get there, work two and three jobs while they're working to build their dream, which, of course, is understandable. But that is definitely something to think about. the alternate places, and also you not having to really relocate. A lot of times you got people from Miami and other places that all they want to do is get to Hollywood. Well, now there's some place that may be in your back door that you don't have to actually relocate so far if it's not a hub in your city to where you can get into the industry. So that definitely makes sense. What about some other things that may have happened, Anita, to cause this change to come about?
Well, another thing is that Hollywood isn't making the kind of movies that people want to go to. Now they're making prequels, sequels, reboots, remakes, and re-imaging. And they're having action movies over content. And though you might go to the big screen, you like to see all the stunt work and all the tech work and stuff, if you want a movie where you have to think and really feel something, maybe it's not going to be made in Hollywood anymore. They've lost their edge as far as being original. What do you think about that?
Well, it kind of makes me a little sad. You know, sometimes in life, when you think about change, well, in a sense that, you know, sometimes when we think about change, change isn't always easy, but we know it's necessary. So it makes me sad for a couple of seconds when I think about how expensive it is and other things. It relieves me that there's a lot of opportunity because you don't always want things to be in one place. And the other thing, like we've talked about on previous shows, we want to see more everyday people be able to do extraordinary things and have more opportunity. And being able to have these other places that you could actually go to and get connected with, it also levels the playing field. So for that, I'm very appreciative.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people have more equipment available, too. If I wanted to make a movie and I could buy the equipment and it's not that expensive. I mean, it's pretty pricey, but I could afford it. And I could make some kind of movie and put it together by a director. I remember and really put it together in a way that would be interesting. I remember when I watched the movie, The Blair Witch Project.
Mm-hmm.
It was about some kids running through the woods, getting scared to death and going to this old house, and really nothing happened except they were running through the woods and being scared to death and just, but they put it together in such a way that was creative. And that's really the first one that I remember seeing that was probably a homemade movie. And it made big bucks too. It was very popular.
Wow, that definitely sounds really, really interesting. And just, you know, because you mentioned the different movies, there's so many outlets to be able to watch TV shows and movies on. Like, you know, of course we love ABC and NBC, and now we have all these other apps. I'm not really sure where they were originated from, but there's, again, it's an opportunity and a place for everyday people to be able to do extraordinary things and also get their work out there. Like, it's one thing to have an idea, but it's another to actually see your idea on a screen. Like, that is really crazy amazing. And, you know, like, we talked about Harvey Weinstein and so many other people in the industries, it was just so hard for people to get into the industry unless you looked a certain type of way or you were willing to do a certain type of thing. Again, now it levels the playing field, and it gives back hope. It gives back hope to people that have dreams. You know, a lot of times, so many people have had dreams in their life, they gave up on those dreams because they felt like there was no way it was going to become a reality. What are your thoughts about that, knowing that everyday people have the opportunity to do extraordinary things?
Well, yeah, I see that for myself because I have every intention of making movies. And I believe I can do it because of all the opportunities available to me. And I don't have to go to Hollywood and spend that kind of money. I can do it out of Memphis, Nashville. We can find we can make our own independent studio if we want to. So I'm just looking forward to doing all those kind of things too, because we have some great books that will be great movies. And I can't
absolutely
wait.
Now, did you feel like that 5 years ago or 10 years ago?
No, this is, maybe 5 years ago, because I had met a man that knew producers, and we were starting a company with it was called Believe International, and we were going to start doing casting, and then the pandemic hit, and it kind of threw those dreams out the window for a while. But then I met you, and then here's more dreams, and then he's going to maybe join us too with some things. But I'm thinking, you know, another thing that probably changed Hollywood a lot is the pandemic, because actors, they lose their edge if they're not seen, and that's why we see them in scandals, we see them in romances. They have to be seen to be able to be a draw at the box office. What do you think about that one?
You know what? It changed the world, especially Hollywood. Think back. Well, first of all, there was a guy that I had met that was passionate about doing stuff with the youth, and he was a what is it called? Starving actor. So he went out to Hollywood, as a matter of fact, and he was dead broke. And he was telling me, he said, "Look, man, I don't have nothing. I'm trying to work a part-time job. I'm trying to get all these gigs." But in his heart, and he was from like Arkansas or someplace like that, but that's all he wanted was to get to Hollywood and make it big. And then the pandemic hit. And I remember talking to him on the phone, asking him how things were going, because he had like bookings and gigs and stuff. And he said, "It's going bad. I think I'm going to have to even leave here because I can't even afford it." He had went and got a job at like a restaurant in addition to the other job he had, which was not in that field at all, but he needed to live. And I haven't talked to him but once or twice since then, and I know he was transitioning, but that was someone who I personally talked to that was in the industry. But, yeah, Hollywood definitely was affected by the pandemic, because remember when COVID first started and – you know, some of these shows had already had like 6 months, 9 months, or even a year as far as the season. So they were kind of like, okay. But the shows that were like taping in real time almost, you see how we had to, how it was really being affected. People had to go do tapings and couldn't leave until the tapings were over. There were a lot of actors and actresses that had actually caught COVID and you know, they couldn't be a part of the actual viewing. And then we were like, some shows were like doing it on TV, like on the Zoom and stuff like that. So yes, it was different, and I didn't like it. I mean, I understood it was necessary, but I didn't like it. I didn't like those Zoom shows.
No, it wasn't interesting. You know, it's what are they doing? It's hard to even
see. Listen,
like, boxes.
And I was so. For example, I love soap operas. I love The Young and the Restless. I've watched it on and off all my life. And I'm in Facebook groups. Oh, you do too? Okay, so if you remember, I'm in Facebook groups talking about the soaps. People were so mad because they wasn't intimate on there having sex. And then I touch it, but it's COVID. And they were literally mad. I'm saying to myself, listen, ladies and gentlemen, we know it's COVID. They can't, but they were so mad with the soap operas. Because it wasn't any touching. That didn't really bother me too much, but people were really pissed off about it. But what I'm really wondering, and we have to look into, is the money that was made versus what the industry is used to, and in the last 3 years of COVID, what money has been made? Because I know a lot of money has been lost.
Well, people stopped going to the movies. You couldn't go to the movie theater. It was closed. Or people stopped going, and they stopped getting used to going.
Exactly.
Now,
like the parents.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the same time, Anita, it also opened another door of opportunity, because if the network can't produce content because, you know, you can't, it's not safe to do it, that means the network is in need of content. So there were a lot of people that didn't care about the pandemic. They didn't really believe it was a pandemic. They thought it was just another conspiracy. And they were still out doing stuff. And they were still out. There were independent people that was hungry and that started shooting stuff, submitting it, and was actually able to get it to the network because the network needed content. So that kind of worked to some people's advantage.
Oh, yeah, you're right about that. I'm wondering, do you remember when we used to look forward to the Oscars coming on, and what we'd have, invite people over, and you'd have maybe or wine or something, and a fruit tray or some dessert or something, and you just couldn't wait to see who was going to win the award, the Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
We were all into the movies, and we enjoyed it, and we just loved the stories and the glamour and everything, and now who cares about it? Nobody cares about the Oscars anymore or the Golden Globes. But it used to be like the Super Bowl. We looked at forward to like, and now it's nothing. So why?
Why is that though? And you know, and as you're saying that, I'm one of those people that was crazy about it. And now, like with the different ones that come on, like the Oscars come on, I think around March, and like the Golden Globe, and like all these other shows, we want to see what's happening with the artists. Why do you think we're not really as in tune and thirsty to watch it now?
Well, there's several things, I think. One, the movies aren't very good. I don't think they're very good. I haven't seen a movie that I really, really loved. With the exception of Elvis, I loved Elvis. But otherwise,
I haven't seen
a movie for a long time. But I loved Elvis. I loved it so much. I could have been jumping up with those ladies dancing with them. It was so good. But you know, I haven't seen any good movies that I really liked for a long time. So I have no desire to see it. And when they give it the award, you think, what the heck, what kind of movie was that? I mean, you didn't relate to it in any way. And mm-hmm. they just have completely, they've lost touch with what people like. So
that's really interesting, because when I think about it, you know, I know also, like we've talked about on the previous show, with having social media, like we have everyday access in real time to a lot of celebrities. So when they're doing it, when they're getting married and they're having a baby, we kind of know what's happening, what's going on with them. So I think like back in the day when I was so crazy about the Oscars and stuff, it would be my first time and I would want to record it because I want to see my favorite celebs and actresses because I haven't seen them since the last time. But now you get to see them every day in the news or the scandals or social media, and it's like it's just really not the same. And, you know, whomever controls the media controls the mind. So we definitely have so much technology. We got to step it up. We can't just have the regular shows. But guess what? We still have some classics. Like, think about people that, like, shows that don't even come on anymore, and they're still classics. So we got to find out how do they do that. How can these shows from 20 and 30 years ago still be so amazing? And today a show comes on, after it goes off, nobody watches it again. Can't get lazy with that.
Yeah. Well, we have one show that is, you know, like a series that's just absolutely excellent is Yellowstone, and people absolutely love it. Yellowstone on.
And you know
what? On,
don't even tell me about that because it's on my list, and it has been for a while. I have all the seasons ready for waiting for me. I can't get past episode one on season one because something always happens after 20 minutes of watching it. But that is on my list probably to binge during the Christmas holidays because everyone has been raving about Yellowstone, definitely.
And I, three times, somebody else comes and I say, have you seen Yellowstone? They say, no. Well, I said, well, I'll watch it with you again, you know, because it's just such a good movie. It's not a movie.
Really?
Yeah. I love that one.
Okay. Well, I'm definitely looking forward to watching during the Christmas holidays and then sharing it with you because I'm a connoisseur when it comes to watching great movies and great TV shows. Like, I'm getting all the apps, but I like to watch certain types of things. So, yeah, definitely. All right. But as we close out today, what is it that you like to leave the audience with, Anita, in reference to thinking about Hollywood and how, you know, Hollywood is just not the only place when it comes to, you know, to movies anymore. Hollywood is no longer the only hottest place for movie production. And we also share with you all some other additional places. So if you're looking to get into the industry and you don't want to go to Hollywood, there are other places that you can have just as much success that may be in your back door, if not already in that city. Any closing comments or thoughts on that, Anita?
Well, if they want to maintain, they're going to have to clean up their act. They're going to have to get some original kinds of movies. They got to know what people like, and they got to get rid of all the awful stuff that's going on. And, you know, like with Weinstein and stuff that we had talked about, they've got to clean it up, and they got to see what people like. And we don't care. We don't care what they think about stuff. We just want to see great movies. We want to see great movies by great actors and directors. That's
absolutely
my.
We got. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That is my advice to them. I don't know that they'll listen, but we'll give it to them.
and one thing I want to say, in all honesty and sincerity, we understand that for hundreds of years, people have talked about what would you do to get to the top, and to each his own. But just don't forget about integrity. Just don't forget about what your why really is and what you want. And just remember, it's impossible to stop a man or a woman that won't quit. This is Tawanda and Anita with Take 411. Thank you for tuning in and listening to Take 411. Thank you for tuning in. Hi everyone, this is your girl T with Take 411 Podcast. For those that don't know, Take 411 Podcast is a part of Another Chance Global Media. Welcome to Season 2. This season, we want to get more personal with our listeners.
We have riveting stories, prison news and updates, as well as real talk conversations that you do not want to miss. Take 411, y'all. Pull up a chair.
We just want to say good evening, hello, happy Sunday to everyone listening. Just a little information we want to go over with everyone. And we want to talk about suicide and suicide prevention. An estimated 703,000 people a year take their life around the world. For every suicide, there are likely 20 other people making a suicide attempt, and many more have serious thoughts of suicide. If you're listening to our show and life is happening to you, you have no one to talk to, you don't know what to do, please know that help is available. You can dial from your landline or cell phone 988. It is a suicide and crisis lifeline. Once again, that's 988. Say that number, because if you don't need it, you may have a friend that needs it. We want to dedicate our show today to those that we've loved and lost due to suicide. It was reported a few days ago that Stephen Boss, better known as Twitch, died. And most people hear Twitch and they know exactly who that is. But for those listening to our show today that you may not know who he is, I want to share a little information to just give you a little update about who Stephen Boss, a.k.a. Twitch, was. He is an American freestyle hip-hop dancer, choreographer, actor, television producer, and television personality. In addition to, he was a father, a husband, several friends, and loved by so many. And he passed away a few days ago. We're talking about this for a couple of different reasons. And as we get into our show, I want to say hello to our co-host. And I want you to share a little bit about what you remember from Twitch. Because when I asked you, I said, hey, Anita, did you know who Twitch was? And you said, oh, yeah. So tell us a little bit about what you remember from Twitch.
Oh, yeah. I saw a Twitch on So You Think You Can Dance. And he was a hip-hop dancer. And I think that he was with a crew that performed on the street. And then he came and was a contestant on So You Think You Can Dance. And he had just such a personality and a charisma about him that he just kept on moving up, you know, in the contest. And then he eventually became one of the ones that would dance with the new contestants. And you just grew to really love him because of his personality and who he was. He was just lovely to watch and so talented.
And you know, the thing about it, you know, I watch so much stuff in the reference to the media, and I don't always remember people by name or face. So I had no idea who Twitch was. And when I heard someone say a few days ago that Twitch had died, and I said, that name sounds so familiar, but I just couldn't place it, and I wasn't able to get to Google at the time. But later on that evening, when I got to my computer and I logged on, and you know how on Yahoo it flashes everything across, and I just saw his face before I even saw the name of the article, and I said, oh, my God, that is who they're talking about. And I just really did not know who he was. But on Instagram, I had fell in love with this husband and wife that had built this Instagram channel, and they were just so in sync with their dancing. And I, after I stumbled across him like three or four times, I said, you know what, let me go ahead and follow them because I just love their love. They had their love through their music, through their dancing. I saw their beautiful children, and that was Twitch. So that definitely really hit me and touched me, and it's been bothering me ever since. Because I didn't know him. I just knew him through watching him on Instagram. I didn't watch him on the previous shows. I didn't remember him from Ellen's show. I remembered him from dancing on YouTube. Oh, not YouTube, on Instagram. So, Anita, I want to talk a little bit about suicide today. But one thing, before we get started, you know, we don't know why he did it. We have no idea why this happened. There's a couple things that I want to talk about that you and I, that you shared with me, for people that's listening, because most people say, why would he do that? You know, why, if he had kids, he had money, he didn't have any problems, he was good. Every time we saw him, he was happy. And I learned a long time ago from working with people is you never know where people are in life. We can't pass judgment because we just never know. What were some of the things you were sharing with me, Anita, that I want you to share with everyone else in reference to that?
Well, sometimes you put on a happy face. He had a persona to put forth for his career, and he may have just put the face on. He wasn't really happy at all. And money and fame, they don't make you happy. It adds responsibility to you. I mean, it's hard to know. We don't know him personally, and so we don't know. But maybe sometimes a person just feels like, well, here I have all this, and I should be feeling just wonderful, and I don't. I feel disappointed. I feel like I can't go on. I mean, we do not know what he might be feeling.
That's true. And we have to keep in mind, like you were telling me earlier, Anita, that there are hidden pressures from a celebrity. When you're a celebrity, your life is no longer your life. You have your fans.
Yeah.
You have people that love you. You have people that hate you. You have people that work for you. When you wake up in the morning, somebody's there. Like, you don't have – I know for me personally, like, my peace is everything. And, like, me being alone and seeing – like, I have to have my peace. If I didn't have my peace, I would go crazy. So just thinking about a celebrity, what if they're like me and they want their peace and they don't have it and you haven't had it for years? That's a whole another level. And also, people think just because you have money and fame, that's everything. Well, money and fame doesn't necessarily make you happy, just like Anita said. All the money in the world, people say, oh, more money, more problems.
Yeah.
It does not make you happy. Being in the spotlight, not having any time to turn off because you are who you are.
Yeah.
All those are things, you know what I'm saying? I want to share a story, though. This is extremely important to me. This is very near and dear because I know that a lot of times we always wonder, did I see the signs? Could I have done anything? I didn't know. So I want to share a story because, again, this is something that's personal to me. And my heart goes out to Twitch, his family, his wife, his kids, everyone that loved him because he seemed like a really great person. I worked a job one time, probably about, probably at least 16, 17 years ago. I worked this job in South Carolina, and there was a guy that worked at the job. His name was Jonathan. The job I worked at was in two different counties, and Jonathan worked at the main office in human resources. He had just got his master's degree. He had just gotten married. He married a young lady that had two kids from a previous relationship, and then they had a little daughter together that was 1 year old. And they had been married, I think, about 3 years. He had just got his master's. He just had a lot of stuff going on. And he would come over, like, once a week to the county where I worked at and do training with new staff and so on and so forth. And it was safe to say I was a person that he really liked. Most people like me because I'm a great listener. I mean, that's what I think, you know. But anyway, he was coming over like twice a week, and I didn't know why he was increasing coming over. Well, when he came over to do the training to meet with the staff, he would come in my office and he would, you know, want to kind of talk about this and about that. And initially it was okay. Then it got to be a little too much because he just was having problems. He was complaining. Have you ever been around anyone, Anita, like they just have a negative spirit or persona?
Oh, yeah, definitely, where they just can't. They just can't see any positive in anything because everything's negative all the time. Yeah.
And it spills over to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, exactly. So when he was complaining about he got his master, he had all his debt, he was talking about just him and the wife was getting into it at the job. There was so much, like, bureaucracy. He just was not happy with stuff. And I'm a person that's extremely positive. And honestly speaking, like, even on bad days, I'm still positive just because I know who God is and I know trouble don't last always. That's how I think, right? So after about a month of him coming over once, twice a week, and he would spend some time in my office, it was like an hour of depression for me. Like, it was just really getting very bad. And it was dampening my spirit. When he left, I would sit there for another 2 or 3 hours before time to go home and try to shake back from what he deposited into me. Well, one day in particular, I saw him drive up, and my coworker and I said, "Oh, there go Jonathan," because my coworker said, "Anytime," she said, "Dandruff, when you're not in the office, he comes and does it to me, but he won't talk to you." And so I said, "Well, not today. Like, it's Friday, it's the weekend, we're gonna leave early, and I just can't. I love him, but I just can't deal with that today." And she said, "Well, I'm not doing it either." So when we saw him walking up to our building, we were in a huge building where we were at. We ran to the back of the building and hid. And we told the secretary to say, "We're not here." And she said, "Y'all know y'all wrong." But she said, "You know he ain't going to stay long because he definitely don't want to talk to me." Because she just really, like, was, she wasn't the kind of person you want to talk to because she just really don't have time. She's not a great listener. So we ran to the back and we hid. And then she came to the back. She said, "All right, girl." She said, "All right, girl. Y'all can come on out. He's gone." And we were like, "Woo, thank God." And she said, "He sure did not like that y'all weren't here." And I said, "I hate to have done that to him, but I just really didn't feel like it." Like, Anita, have you ever had anybody come around you, and then you, like, some days you feel like, "You know what, I don't want to deal with it today. I just can't deal with that today." Can you relate to that?
I can, but if it's somebody that you love, you don't have a choice sometimes. But no, there's people that have such need to talk and things, and it's hard not to listen sometimes because who do they have if they don't have you sometimes?
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Well, you know what? This is on August the 31st or whatever year that was. And someone may say, "How in the world do you remember that?" Well, I remember that because it's my sister's birthday. And I went home that evening, and about 6 p.m., my supervisor called me. Everybody called me Vandroff, I guess because I have such a fabulous last name. And she said, "Hey, Vandroff." And I said, "Hey, why are you calling me this time of day?" Because I had like a 8:30 to 5 job, and we don't talk after 5 o'clock. You know what I'm saying? So when she called, she said, "I got some bad news." And I said, "What?" And she said that Jonathan committed suicide.
Yeah.
And I dropped the phone, and I was in tears. And this still bothers me, and it's been over 10 years. And I said, "What do you mean? What do you mean, Alfreda?" And she said, that was my supervisor at the time, and she said, "Well, when he got off of work, he drove his little pickup truck to a field, and he blew his brains out."
Yeah.
And he left 3 letters, one for his baby, and one for his, and the other 2 were for his stepdaughters. No letter for wife.
Yeah.
And honey, I'm telling you, it's been over 10 years, and you know what I'm hearing say next. And I know it's not. I know it's not my fault. I know I didn't do it. But I always say, "Lord, if I didn't hide from him that day, was he coming to say bye? Was he coming because he was on the edge and there may have been something I could have said that would have stopped him? You understand what I'm saying?
See?
Oof. Suicide is real. Mental health is real. It is real. And let me tell you something. Jonathan was a good guy. He was a good one. Yeah. He was depressed. And we all knew it. We all knew he was depressed. And I always wondered, he was HR. Why didn't someone say, go get some help? A lot of times we see people suffering and see people going through things, and we think it's nothing. No, we have no urgency to anything. He was depressed for months, and nobody did anything about it until he did something about it.
Yeah.
Think about that for a minute. Think about that for a minute. And I know few people that's dealt with loved ones that's committed suicide. There's another young lady I met 2 years ago through Facebook, and she was struggling with some things, and I couldn't reach her for 3 or 4 days. And I saw posts that she was posting on Facebook, and again, now that someone died on me, I feel like no one else is going to do that. So when I started reading her posts, I got very worried immediately. I started calling all her phones and couldn't reach her. And when I finally reached her about 2 days later, she told me that she had left her house, went to the motel, and took pills to kill herself. And her husband found her in time. And I said, without even thinking, I said, you can't do this to me. And it ain't even about me. It ain't even, but I just can't. You never know where someone is in life.
No.
Almost a million people a year, over 700,000, take their life. And for every suicide, there are likely 20 other people making a suicide attempt.
I really dreaded this talk, actually, because I was one of those people. I took my baby to the babysitter, and I was out in the car and took pills, and I took the baby into the house. And I don't know what happened after that. I guess I fainted or something, and they took me to the hospital. I was saved. But
glory to God. Glory to God. Jesus, have mercy.
It's a real thing. People get, you have situations that are hard, and you think, well, I just can't take it anymore. And then what else can I do? I had a husband not kind to me.
This is real.
Yeah, it's real. Yeah.
When I think about Twitch is a celebrity that died, but think about other people that no one knows. Or think about situations like you just said, Anita. Hey, I can understand that. Like this really bothered me. I mean, this thing has bothered me. I told this one girl I was talking to this week, she said, you're upset about this guy. Like, you act like this is somebody you know. He's God's child. He's somebody I love God's people. My heart beats for other people. And this is a real situation.
Yeah. And
it's not easy to talk about. I'm sorry, go ahead.
When you're in that situation, you're not thinking, well, God's not going to like it. You're just saying, I need to be with God. Let him take care of me.
Nina, what can we do? What can we do for anyone that's listening that's suffering with mental health issues, that's going through depression? What can we do to let people know that they're not alone? Even though sometimes, you know, the reality is it's hard to be with somebody every minute of the day. You can't be watching somebody say, are you going to do something to hurt yourself? Are you going to do something to hurt yourself? Of course, I know realistically we can't do that. But what are some things we could do? Because thinking about this guy that we're talking about, and people say he was mad. He just celebrated his 9th year anniversary. He just had a baby. His baby was two or three. But whatever he was dealing with, he had to end it. He had to end it.
Yeah.
So people what are some hope. Things?
I don't know
yep.
really what to do. Did he just lose hope? We got to give hope to people. We need to listen to people. Nobody could have listened to me. They wouldn't have had a clue that I would have done such a thing.
But think back to your personal situation. Like, was there nothing that anyone could do? Were you going through something like for a long period of time and you just didn't get help? I mean, did something build up to that point?
It was my husband was a drinker. And he would pretty well drink every weekend, and then he would come home late at night, and then he would get out the gun and threaten to kill himself, and I would stay up with him until he'd pass out, so I could take the gun and hide it under the bed, so that he wouldn't kill baby or me.
And no one knew you were going through that.
The pressure was just so great, you know, for that, to deal with that every single weekend. And then I'd have to get up and go to work in the morning. And it was just so much pressure on me to take that all the time. And it was, I couldn't cope anymore. So.
Did anyone know you were going through that?
Yeah, I had the people from church came and talked to him, and there were different. His family knew, but he couldn't talk to him. He wouldn't cooperate with anything.
Wow. So after you drop your baby off, and you said, "Okay, I'm done with this." When it didn't happen, what were you relieved? Or what were your thoughts?
I don't really remember now. My parents came and of course they talked to him, and he made lots of promises, and that lasted about 2 weeks. and so, you know, I just had to keep on coping. I love my baby. You know, I love my husband too. You know, I just had to keep on going and be strong. And I was also on it. What added to it was that the doctor had given me some diet pills, and that didn't help, because then that's what I used to amphetamines I took. But at that time, the doctor didn't think anything of giving that kind of medicine to somebody. So I was basically eating an apple and Dr. Pepper every day. That's all I could eat. To lose weight and to please him.
Mm. Yeah. Man, I'm trying to tell you, you never know where people are in life. So we have to be careful how we treat people. Our goal is to help prevent people from thinking about and committing suicide by offering them alternatives and outlets. You said something about hope. We want to give people hope because suicide is a leading cause of death in the U.S. People are alone, even with, like, for example, with COVID, for example. So many people were going through depression and withdrawals because of COVID, not getting out, not having any socialization, and so on and so forth. So there's just so many different things. Like in the world that we live in today, we have so much opportunity and so many gadgets. But it's also more opportunity to be sick or to be oppressed or to become depressed. And then when you feel like, hey, I don't know what to do, then you take matters into your own hands.
Yeah. At this time of year, people have a lot of struggles, too, at Christmas, especially single people, older people. that, you know, you think, well, here I am, another Christmas alone. I should be happy. The beautiful lights, everything's beautiful. Everybody's happy, having fun, Christmas, celebrating, and I'm alone, and I'm feeling bad. My friend and I actually were talking about that today. She said she wouldn't even bother putting up a Christmas tree, you know, because what was it for her anyway, you know? When you don't have little kids around to make you happy with Christmas and stuff, and my neighbors invited me over on Christmas Day, and they've got four little kids. So,
well, good. So, are you going over?
I'm not depressed or anything. It's just because we're talking about this.
Oh yeah, you just not being alone. I mean, I'm single in Kentucky, so I've gotten all types of invites. People are like, girl, are you going home for Christmas? They're like, no, I got so much stuff to do. I won't go home till the next week. Well, come over to my house and blah, blah, blah. It's just people showing love and showing kindness. And that's a good thing because, you know, it's good to show love and to show kindness. Well, what I want to share as we wrap up our show today, talking about Twitch and suicide, I want to talk about warning signs. You know, we want to be very vigilant, be very careful when we see people that we know and love or people that we don't even know and love. Well, I'm not going to say don't love them. People that we don't even know, we want to be very vigilant. We need to pay attention. A lot of people in the world, they just don't pay attention. We need to pay attention, okay? So just a few steps of different things we may could do to be a little more vigilant to help prevent someone from hurting or harming themselves. First of all, we can't be fearful about inquiring about certain thoughts. You know, a lot of times you may ask your kid, for example, hey, are you not doing drugs, are you? But sometimes we're not really comfortable doing that because you don't want to, you know, make them mad, make them upset. But we have to improve our communication. So if I have a good relationship with you, for example, Anita, we communicate about anything, or we need to be able to communicate about anything. We can't be fearful because sometimes a person wants to talk, they just need the door to open a little bit. Does that kind of make sense? You agree with that, Anita?
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. We also want to learn some of the warning signs. You know, when someone may be doing something like if they're feeling burdened, they're having like a lot more anxiety, they're being isolated, they're like on drugs, mood swings and stuff like that, they may be running from something. It may be some type of problem. And if it's not addressed, it may can become a bigger problem later, right? So we have to, again, pay attention so we'll start noticing some of those warning signs. And we also need to know about suicidal ideation, like what it actually looks like. People saying stuff like, I should just kill myself. I've got no reason to live. There's just no way out of this. I can't live like this anymore. Can you think about anything? Have you ever heard anyone say that before, Nina? Or have you ever thought that before?
Yeah, I have. I have, for sure I have, but I've heard it too, you know, and there's lots of people will say that and not mean it. No, I never would have spoke that to anybody, but I would have thought it. And so I probably wouldn't have given anybody any kind of clue, you know, that I would have done that. But, I try to be, if I have friends that I know are alone, I try to contact them and invite them over, let them go with me to a doctor's appointment or anything. Just make them feel good that they can do something and be around people. I mean, you only can do
Absolutely.
What you can do.
You only can do what you can do, but do something.
Yeah.
Do
yeah.
something. And also be aware of resources that can help people, that can encourage people. Let's give more positivity than negativity. You know, a lot of people just so negative, negative, negative all of the time. We got to focus on the positive. I know every day is not going to be sunshine, but guess what? It's not going to be rain either. We got to try to find a balance to be able to prevent people from harming themselves. And again, hope. That's why I'm really big on communication. I'm really big on what can you do to live your best life? Because we only get one of them. We only get one of them. I met a lady a few months ago at a church I was visiting here in Kentucky, and her daughter 1 year ago committed suicide. Her daughter's 18 years old, and she was really struggling with it. And after about 12 weeks of just kind of seeing her on a weekly basis at the church, and she was just really going through it, she was coming around, and she said it's not easy. And she was telling me that during, like, the first 6 months after her daughter committed suicide, she wasn't even able to go in her room. She just couldn't. And then now she said, I went in her room. Like, one Wednesday at church, she said, hey, I was able to go in her room. Then the next Wednesday, yeah, she was able to go in and pack up some stuff. Then she was able to go in and sit on the bed. But the first two or three Wednesdays when we talked at church, she, like, opened the door and closed it back, opened the door and closed it back. It was a process. But my heart went out to her because I said, you know, 18 years old. But most people that commit suicide is normally in that range.
Yeah.
Normally in that range of, like, 25 to 30, 10 to 20. Because of the lack of development, people ages 10 to 24 are characteristic, but they are really impulsive. But it's just really something to think about. So, again, my heart goes out to Twitch and his family, the family that he left behind, and anyone else that's suffering with a loss of a loved one due to suicide, due to any type of abuse. Because we know that we're not going to be here forever, but I know we want to live as long as we can and do as much as we can while we're here. I need any closing thoughts that you like to share with the audience before we close out.
Other than just any chance that you have, show love to people, accept them, be aware, communicate, like you said, be open to letting people talk to you.
I definitely agree. And one thing I just want to share as we close out is love is love. Life is about love. Everything is love. God is love. And that's one of the things I love about working with Anita and people like Anita that's just really good people with a good heart and great mind and truly a great people to work with. You know, if you're interested in working, starting a business, find someone good that you can work with, that you can trust, that has a good heart, that really just loves people, because that makes a difference. And Anita, let me tell you, honey, I am so excited, I'm so grateful, and I'm so thankful that God has orchestrated a time such as this for us to be able to share information each week on our platform with the world. And guess what? The best is still yet to come. God bless everyone,
right.
And we're excited. Happy holidays. And just remember, every day is not going to be raining. The sunshine will come. God bless you guys. Thank you for tuning in to Take 411. Don't ever say that you are not in the right place at the right time. Until next time, stay connected.